Aren't you glad we're not meeting in the parking lot today?
Quite.
Yeah, it'd be a little chilly, wouldn't it? All right. Looks like everybody here is home, folks. So hopefully when you came in this morning, you got a bulletin. Did you get a bulletin? If you got a bulletin, wave it in the air. Okay. If you didn't have anything to wave, you better grab one on your way out. Okay. All right. We don't want you to be left out. Well, take your bulletin and let's go through some of the things that are happening here at Lake Hazel Bible Church this morning yet. And also later on this week. So this morning in our worship service, we're going to be celebrating communion, which also means during the time of our offering, we'll be receiving an offering for our benevolence fund. That is above your regular giving to the Lord. So I hope that you might be prepared for that. If you are giving cash, there are envelopes over here by the box. So just put it in there. Put your cash in there and mark it benevolent fund, and it'll be recorded as such. Then, after our worship service this morning, we're going to be having Sunday school. And again, let me remind you, we have Sunday school for kids, teens, and adults. And in our adult Sunday school class, we are studying dispensations. So if you don't know what a dispensation is, if you don't know why it's important for you to be able to know what a dispensation is, you might want to stay and join us for adult Sunday school this morning. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible Study here at 1:30 p.m., continuing on in our study of the book of Romans. Thursday night is Awana, and it's sports night. And then men, Saturday morning, 8 a.m., we're going to be meeting at Cracker Barrel for men's breakfast. So come in and join us for that. It'll be a great time. Also on Saturday, when you go to bed, make sure that you set your clocks backwards. Otherwise, you're going to be here at church really, really early. I think that's the way it works, right? And so you don't want to be here before the rest of us. You might not get in if you get here too early, right? And so you'll get an extra hour of rest. Woo, amen. Right? We'll never turn that down. That is really, really good. So there's lots of other things in the bulletin. Please make sure that you grab one on your way out. Just a note, you'll see in the prayer corner that Reed Black has been moved to Creekside Manor in Meridian, and he and his family would appreciate so much your prayers. All right, you ready to worship? Yes. Ready to lift your voices in praise to the Lord? Yeah, some of you aren't sure. Okay, before we do that, everybody cough. Clear your throats, clear your minds, clear your hearts, and let's give our praise to the Lord. And Let's worship him in song. Let's worship him in offering. Let's worship him in prayer. Let's worship him in the word. Let's worship him for this whole time that he's given to us this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go, worship team.
Would you all stand with me as we sing, "There is a fountain"? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all.
Show my sins away, wash away.
my supply, my breath of life. Still more awesome than I know. You are my reward, worth living for. Still more awesome than I know. And all of you is more than enough for all of me. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for the way that you have blessed us, for who you are, for what you've done. Lord, thank you for being more than enough, more than we need, more than we ever wanted, more than we could ever hope for. Thank you for Jesus, who supplied that fountain filled with blood. Lord, thank you for giving us a hope and a future. Lord, we love you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you please be seated as we continue this morning? I am holding on to faith. I know you'll make a way, and I don't always understand, and I don't always get to see, but I will believe it, I will believe it. You make mountains move, you make giants fall, you use songs and rings to shake prison. And this will end in victory. And I will believe it. Yes, I will believe it. That you make mountains move. You make giants fall. You use songs and rings to shake prison walls. And I will speak to my fear. And I will preach to my doubt. That you were faithful. Faithful then, you will be faithful now. prison walls, and I will speak to my fear. I will preach to my doubt that you were faithful then, but you will be faithful now, because you make mountains move, you make giants fall, for you use songs of praise to shake prison walls. And I will speak to my fear, I will preach to my doubt that you were faithful then, you will be faithful now, you were faithful then, you will be faithful now. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. Things, because great are you. One day, all the earth, all people will bow and they will declare that great are you, Lord. Lord, we worship you today because you're worth it. Amen. Usher's going to take this morning's offering.
You know, I don't know about you, but But when we sing some of these songs, when we're being led to worship by this really awesome worship team that God has given us, I don't know what goes through your heart and mine. I only know what goes through mine. And as we sang this song, I Surrender, I was reminded of what Becky and I just went through a few months ago, where we had to go through every room of our house, and we had to start packing up some of our belongings, not to take them with us, because we don't have room in a one-bedroom apartment for all of the belongings that we had. But we had to go room by room, our family room, our kitchen, our living room, our bedroom, the other rooms of our house, our bathrooms, and we had to start putting stuff in boxes to be able to be taken out to the garage, to be able to be staged, to be able to be surrendered for down the road, a garage sale. We surrendered an awful lot of stuff. Come the day of the garage sale, we had a garage sale for 2 days, Friday and Saturday. Friday, we had a lot of traffic. Saturday, not so much. So when the garage sale was all over, because the heat of the day was approaching and nobody wanted to stay out there and continue on with the garage sale, so everything that didn't get sold went back in boxes, got loaded up in trucks and in the back of Brian and Diane's car and taken off to the thrift stores. We surrendered an awful lot of stuff. So this morning, as we're singing this song, I Surrender, God was having me go through the rooms of my heart and saying, so you ready to surrender that? Can you surrender that? Will you give me that? And there were times when I would say, sure, Lord, you can have that. There were other times when I said, I don't know. I like that. I don't know that I want to get rid of it. And God was saying, surrender it to me. Just surrender. So I don't know what was going through your heart and through your mind as you were singing this song, I Surrender. I can only hope and pray that if God was speaking to you saying, there's things in your life that need to be surrendered to me, that you were listening and you were coming to the point in your life of saying, I don't want to hold on to that anymore. I surrender. Now, that's not the sermon this morning. I just threw that in for free. Okay? All right, children, come on down. We'll get you sent off to children's church. They were like going, we got to go to children's church. Yeah, I know, I know. Let's pray. Father, for these next few moments, as we turn our attention from lifting our praise with our voices through our hearts to you, and as we open up those hearts and we open up our ears to be able to hear you speak to us from your word, help us to surrender. Help us to surrender our time. Help us to not be looking at our phones and looking at our watches and looking at the clocks saying, I got things to do later on today. Father, may we surrender that to you. Whatever distractions, whatever things that might burden us from really paying attention to what it is you want us to be able to know from your word this morning, help us to put that in the background. Because we surrendered it to you. Father, surrender is something that you take serious because you know our lives better than we know ourselves. You know our lives better than we know. You know what's come in to be able to distract us. You know what's come in to be able to burden us, to be able to not really appreciate what it is that you are going to speak to us through your word. Father, we surrender. We surrender all of that to you. May our hearts and our ears be open to what it is that you have for us. And may we not just be hearers, but Father, as we leave this place, because we've surrendered those things that would keep us from doing what it is you want us to do, help us to be doers. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go and have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Romans. Romans chapter 5. We're going to talk about this morning the horror of sin and the grace of God. Trick or treat. The trick is the horror of sin. The treat is the grace of God. See what I did there? On a sunny September day in Chicago, a stern-faced, plainly dressed man could be seen standing still on a street corner. As people were hurrying on their way, he would defiantly lift his right arm, point to the person nearest him, and say a single word, guilty. He would do this without any change of expression, then resume his stiffened stand for a short period of time and repeat the process over again. Over and over, he would raise his right arm, point to a person, and pronounce them guilty. A person watching this situation described the reactions of the people being pointed to as being eerie. It was as if they didn't quite know how to respond. One man, perhaps describing how many others probably felt, turned to another person and exclaimed, "How did he know?" Now, this illustration causes us to ask an important question. Whatever became of sin? Especially now, in the 21st century. Now, it's not that sin has disappeared or that we no longer feel guilty. In fact, most people could respond just like the people pointed at in Chicago. Most people do have a sense of their own guilt. And if you don't understand that, go to the bedside of a person who is about ready to leave this earth and go on into eternity. And I'm not necessarily talking about eternity in heaven. They know how guilty they are. I don't know how many times I've been at the bedside of a person that's dying. I don't know how many times I've sat with people as they've been given the news that they only have a short period of time to be able to live. And their questions aren't about a person who has confidence. Their questions are about a person who knows that they're guilty. They're guilty of sin. And they want to know, what do I have to do at this point in my life to be able to make sure that I go to be with God? Now, it's a wonderful thing to be able to explain to them all they have to do is believe in Jesus as Savior. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter what they are doing. And it doesn't matter what they may do in the short period of time that they still have left. What's important is, in whom do they believe as Savior? What is it that they've been, what it is that from this moment on are they counting on to save them from the penalty, from the debt of sin that they are required to be able to pay? Why do they want to have a preacher during those times of their life? Because they know they're what? Guilty. Now, they feel guilty, not because someone tells them they're guilty, but because they truly are guilty. And we're guilty because we're sinners. Every single one in this room is guilty because we're sinners. There isn't anybody sitting in this room that has a pass, not even the one who's standing in front of you today behind this pulpit. Now, there are some people who say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. You don't struggle with sin like I do. That's not true. Why? Because I'm just as human as you are. There are people who think I have this strong connection to God and it's stronger than anybody else's. That's not always true. There's times when, as I've already pointed out this morning, I have to go through my own heart and my own life and come to the place before God of saying, there's things in my life and I surrender. Just like you, just like me. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, as it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. With the exception of Pastor Sam. Is that what it says there? No. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So class, does all mean all? Yeah, it does. Romans chapter 5, hopefully you found there. I'm going to read verses 8 and 12. But God shows his love for us in that while we were really good people, Christ died for us. Is that what it says? No, that while we were what? Sinners. Why? Link it back to Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Link it back to 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all mankind because all have sinned. That means you. That means me. That means the whole world. But in our world today, sin is ignored. In our world today, we don't like to use the term sin. So we come to the place of downplaying sin. We say, yeah, we have faults, shortcomings, hang-ups, problems, mistakes, slip-ups, errors. We might even go as far to say we're just dysfunctional or we have some sickness. We don't like to use the word sin. We don't want to be categorized as a sinner. Why? Because it's easier to talk about our failures than our sin. Because in our culture, calling a thing a sin is taking matters a little too far. Because our culture says, what is true yesterday may not be true today or tomorrow. But what is the truth of God's word says? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter what our culture says. We don't measure our sin by the culture. We don't measure sin by our own intelligence. We don't measure our sin by what people who may say that they're preaching God's word but aren't preaching the truth of God's word say. We measure our sin by what it is that God has said. Because you see, if you do away with God and truth and morality, then whatever the culture currently says it is, that's what it is. And the culture says today there is no absolute standard by which things should be measured. It's not what God's word says. I just read for you. I just had you read for yourself what God's word says about sin. So why would God go through the trouble of telling us in the truth of his word about sin? Because God takes it seriously. Why does God take sin seriously? Because sin is a horrible thing, and it must be taken seriously. As God takes our sin seriously, we need to take our sin seriously. So we're going to spend a little bit of time understanding how important it is for us to take our sin seriously. And I'm going to go through a few points with you. The first point is this: sin should be defined. Because if something doesn't have a definitive definition, it can be defined as anything or everything. You get that? If something doesn't have a definite definition, then that thing can be whatever we determine in our own intelligence or by whatever source of authority we choose to define it with. God defines sin. He's given us a biblical definition of sin. Sin is missing the mark of God's standard of holiness. You might want to write that down. Sin is the missing of the mark of God's standard of holiness through rebellion. You know what it is that God says for you to do, but you say, I'm not going to do it. That's rebellion. Disobedience. You know what it is that God's word says, and you go, I'm not going to do that. That's disobedience. Wickedness. Crime. Ignorance. Wait a minute. Ignorance. Isn't the definition of ignorance not knowing what I'm doing? No. Ignorance is knowing what it is that you're supposed to do and not choosing to do that. You're ignoring what it is that is true. You're ignoring that which is truth. Lawlessness, ungodliness, and evil. And we can all boil it down to this simple, really, definition. If all of that is too much for you, sin is that which is contrary to God's character. Sin is that which is contrary to God's character. Sin should be defined. Sin is also dangerous. If you're taking notes, that's point number two. Sin corrupts us and those around us. Actually, it's point number two under sin is a horrible thing. Sin is dangerous. Sin corrupts us and those around us. People are watching our lives. Do you think it's really a secret that you come to Lake Hazel Bible Church? Do you really think that your neighbors, that your coworkers, your classmates don't know? They don't know what your life is all about. They haven't heard you talk about your church family. They haven't heard you talk about God. You think they haven't done that? No, they know. They know your life. And when you allow sin to come into your life, do you think they don't know that? Yeah, they do. And they go, well, wait a minute. If these people who say that God is important to them, if their church family is important to them, but yet they do the things that I know they shouldn't be doing, then you know what? I guess it really doesn't mean a whole lot to them. Guess it's not really that important to them. Sin corrupts. And so then what do? They go out and they sin because they see it in us. Sin corrupts us and those around us. Sin causes us to be unrighteous and guilty before God. What does it say in Romans chapter 3? Romans chapter 5? We are all what? Guilty before God. We are unrighteous. There is none righteous. No, not one. Sin not only should be defined, and sin is not only dangerous, but sin is destructive. Sin destroys our relationships with families, friends, community, and our church family. Because God didn't design all of us to be living on an island. We all live among people. We all move among people. And when our lives are involved with sin, it destroys those around us. Think about people that you know. Think about people that you've trusted. Think about people that you had a very strong relationship with, and they sinned. How it affected your heart. How it affected your mood. How it affected your relationship with them. And that's why it's so very important that we hold on to the truths of God's word, where God tells us in Romans chapter 6 that sin does not have to have dominion over us. Sin does not have to be a part of our lives. We make the choice to be able to what? Bring it into our hearts. Bring it into our lives. And oftentimes we do that with what I call do-over sins. They're sins that we do over and over and over again, thinking the only people that it affects is me. So what are some of your do-over sins? Well, if you don't want to recall any, if you don't want to call any up, let me give you some to maybe get you started. How about anger? Well, I'm not really an angry person. I just sometimes get pushed over my limit. You know, the Bible says, do not be angry. And if the Bible says, do not be angry, and we get angry, we're what? You figure it out. Selfishness, greed, lying, dishonesty, coveting. What's coveting? Desiring so much what someone else has that you would go to great lengths to be able to either take that away for them or to be able to have a newer one than what they have. So that you can say, oh, yours is okay, but look at mine. Mine's the top of the line. Stealing. And that might not just be related to possessions. That could be related to reputation. Because when we gossip about somebody, we steal their reputation. When we insult somebody, we steal their reputation. Comparing yourself to others. Well, man, you know, compared to so-and-so, I'm really good. You know, do you know what their life is about? Do you know the things they like? Do you know the places that they go? Do you know the things that they watch on their phone or on their computer or on their TV screen or in the movie theater? I don't do any of those things. I'm so much better than they are. Profanity. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Profanity is included as part of that corrupt communication. Bitterness, slander. Get the picture? We must take whatever steps are necessary to avoid sin. You want to know how to do that? Read Romans chapter 6. Paul tells us how we do not have to give the instruments of our body, the members of our body, over to unrighteousness. What's unrighteousness? Sin. Now, that doesn't mean we'll be perfect, because no one is, not even Pastor Sam. But perfection is not our standard. Perfection is not our standard this side of heaven. Our standard this side of heaven is to become more and more like Jesus. Continue to read from chapter 6 on into the book of Romans, and you'll see where Paul says that for us as believers, the goal for us is to be more and more conformed to the image of God's dear Son, Romans chapter 8. As believers, we may find ourselves in the horror of sin. And when that happens, we can put 1 John 1, 9 into practice into our lives. Notice that I said as believers. 1 John 1, 9 is given to us as believers. It's not given to unbelievers. What does 1 John 1, 9 say? If we confess our sins, if we agree, that word confess there is the same Greek word where we get the word agree. If we agree that sin has come into our life, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from just some of our unrighteousness. Is that what it says? No, all. And so 1 John 1, 9 leads us to the grace of God. We've already seen the trick, the horror of sin. Now we're going to spend some time looking at the treat, the grace of God. And God's grace is a beautiful thing. If you want to, turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. But I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We can be saved for eternal life because God is willing to save us. You get that? He was willing to give his only son to save us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Why? Because of his grace. Only because of his grace. Now let's look at some things connected to God's grace. First, God's grace to bring salvation for eternal life is available to all. It's God's love for us, not our love for him, that saves us. He's already done the work of what it takes for us to be able to have eternal life in heaven with him. And that's by believing in what he sent his son, Jesus, here to do for us. And what was that? To go to the cross for us. To what? Pay the debt of sin that we owed. Because we, no way, no how, could pay that debt of sin that God required. We have seen that God's grace is the source of our salvation. But I want to add that the means of that salvation for eternal life is through faith. And because it's through faith, because it's based upon not what we have done, not who we are, but what God has done for us, God's salvation for eternal life is complete. Notice that Paul says here in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved. He doesn't say you shall be, or you may be, but you have been saved, which indicates a what? Completed action. He doesn't say you are partly saved, or you are in the process of being saved, or that you can hope to be saved. What does he say? God's salvation is complete. And God's salvation that's complete is available to all. To all who what? John 3:16. To all who believe in Jesus as Savior. You know, God's grace comes by faith. God's salvation to us must be through grace, and salvation by grace must be through faith. You cannot get salvation by grace by any other means than by faith. And so if we can say to a person, after we know that they've come to believe in Jesus as Savior, you are saved, we need to add the words, you are saved by grace. There is no salvation today which doesn't begin and end with grace. God's grace. There can be no salvation unless it stands upon this foundation. By grace, you are saved. Salvation comes as a free gift of God and from the mercy and the grace of God by faith alone. God's grace is not from us. But God, through Paul, also added, and that not of yourselves. So salvation cannot come from anything that we can do. Salvation and faith are not of us. To begin with, we don't deserve them. And they're not the rewards for any of our good works, because no one has lived well enough that God is obligated to give them eternal life. If that was true, then they would be able to brag. They would be able to boast. They would be able to someday stand in God's presence and say, aren't you glad, God, that I did everything that I could to be able to be here? That's not going to happen. The only reason why we're going to be able to stand in God's presence is because we believe in Jesus as Savior. No other way. The Bible is very clear. There is no salvation today which doesn't begin and end with grace. Now, there are many belief systems and churches, even here in the Treasure Valley, that teach that salvation is by works. But even if it was possible to be saved by doing good works, no one could ever be sure they had done enough to obtain their salvation. If I was to tell you that, well, you can be saved by believing in Jesus as Savior and by going out and doing enough good works, you would spend your whole life doing good works and never really know that you've done enough. Aren't you glad that salvation isn't based upon what you could do or should do, but it's based upon what God, through what Jesus has already done for us on the cross, brings to us? Because salvation, even today, begins and ends with grace, God's grace. And in His grace, He made salvation complete. And when we believe in Jesus as Savior for eternal life, it becomes complete to us. Those who ascribe to this thinking that you have to not only believe, but you also have to work, they don't understand. They know nothing about God's grace for salvation. There can be no salvation unless it stands upon this foundation. By grace, you are saved. And because of that, not one of us can ever take any credit for our salvation. God's grace is a free gift. Salvation is God's gift. It's His gift to a sinful world. It's His gift to a sinful people. It's His gift to a sinful individual, you and me and the whole world. It's an amazing gift, and it's free, and it stems from Jesus' immeasurable love and His wonderful grace. It is free. All you or I or any other person in this whole world need to do to be able to have salvation for eternal life is believe in Jesus as Savior. Because it's God's free gift. Salvation by grace through faith is for all who will believe in Jesus as Savior. That's the treat. We saw the trick. Now we've seen the treat. And hopefully God has used that through His Holy Spirit for us this morning to bring us to the place of celebrating communion. Communion is the reminder and the celebration of what Jesus did for us on the cross, so that we will have a Savior from the horror of sin, and so that we can know the grace of God. Let me remind you this morning that in order to participate together with us in communion, you don't have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church. You just have to be a believer in what Jesus has done for you on the cross. You just have to be a believer. You just have had to come to the place of believing in Jesus as Savior for eternal life. As you this morning hold the bread in your hand, as the men distribute it, I want you to remember two things: the horror of your sin, and the grace of God. As you hold the cup in your hand, I want you to remember two things: the horror of your sin, and the grace of God. Because it's the grace of God that takes away the horror of our sin. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world. So as we participate together this morning, we hold those elements in our hand. Let's remember those things. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table.
Wow. What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That let our souls to Him belong. Who holds our days within His hand? What comes upon
Let's remember Jesus.
Oh, sing hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah. Now and ever we confess Christ our hope and life and death. Unto the grave, what will we sing? Christ, He lives, Christ, He lives, and what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life within, there we will rise to meet the Lord, and sin and
let's remember Jesus. Thank you, man.
Would you stand with me for this last song? Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God.
few minutes.